Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I feel like we say this pretty much every week this year. Was that the greatest AEW TV match we've ever seen? The answer is no. That was CM Punk versus MJF when MJF beat CM Punk twice in Chicago. But it's fun to entertain the idea.
I just got to peel back the curtain somewhat. We were having this conversation in the office about an hour or so ago because we watched the match again in the office at lunch because it was dead good, right? The Omega Vikingo match, of course. And Tempest made the point of, like, what are the best matches in Dynamite history? And we're sort of, you know, all of us are listening through, oh, it's probably, you know, Omega versus Pac. And it's like, oh, well, certainly Omega versus Danielson. Probably in the Death Triangle Elite stuff that they were doing. And Ollie just stood up and was like, why does no one ever say MJF versus CM Punk?
Oh, because I like the dog collar pay-per-view match more. Yes, I agree with you. That's also 5 stars. But what about the other great match they had?
Boo, Ollie. No, no, no.
He did nothing wrong. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Luke Owen, DAD. Welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast review of AEW Dynamite. Please, if you haven't already, press the thumbs up button. Give us a subscribe. Leave a comment down below with what you thought of the episode and send in your North Carolina Omega chats to wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them over $5.
Could have done that in a Justin Roberts style where Omega is 2 words.
Oh!
Mega!
What a ring announcer.
He's great. The Dapper Yapper.
This was the second best match in AEW Dynamite history, for my money.
Yeah. That was pretty darn good.
Do you count CM Punk versus MJF as 2 matches because they restarted it?
No, I think
in which case it would be the third.
Yeah, I think that is 1 match.
Okay. Holy hell. I've not seen Vikingo wrestle before. I've seen Kenny Omega wrestle a bit. And this was a match designed to get over Vikingo. It was pretty much a Lucha Libre style match. And Kenny, just like Will Ospreay, just seems to be the best at any style of wrestling you can do.
This match was designed to do 3 things. Number one, it introduced Vikingo to a North American audience that might not be watching AAA or Lucha Libre. Number two, further the storyline with Omega and the Bucks and Hangman Page, which is sort of just a show-long storyline and sort of played into this match. And three, and as a lovely little bit of business, set up the rematch for a AAA show. And that is some nice corporate synergy there between AEW and AAA.
Yeah,
we did the first match on our show and our guy went over, but it sets up the bigger rematch for your show, Conan.
Yeah, well, you know, that's all well and good. Now you've got some story.
Yeah, where's
the story going in?
I was watching this match being like, oh, I don't know. What is the story here? Why are these two wrestlers having a pro wrestling match?
I always thought that Tony Khan engaging on Twitter and getting riled up and obviously reading way too many tweets than is healthy for anyone's brain was a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think the criticism of AEW not having enough story, which is what I disagree with the idea of why would I watch Omega Vikingo? There's no story there. because it is actually a great match.
It's a bad faith take.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a bad faith take that people sort of blew up into being like, no, this actual, we need to have a discussion around why this needs to have a story. But like, it doesn't need a story.
But sometimes, you'll know this, because you have given birth to another human being. You haven't directly.
Not directly, no.
You facilitated it.
I was there to help.
Yeah.
I was there to hold my wife's hand.
So
and cry.
The babies, and yeah, that's what I'm equating Twitter to, en masse.
Yeah.
You know, when all the people are together, they have the emotions of a baby. And sometimes the baby cries, right?
Yeah, well, just the other night. So my baby had some, her eczema flared up.
Mm-hmm.
Behind her ear, it got inflamed and it blistered over. And it sort of like opened up a little bit and it started to sort of weep and pass out of it. So we had to wash it, dry it out, and then put cream on it. And in doing so, she screamed in my face for 5 minutes while we were trying to do this. And she said, it's okay, like, while singing her songs and, you know, trying to sort of calm her down and stuff. That is what Twitter was doing when they saw that this match had been announced without a story. Yeah. They didn't know why they were angry. And they didn't know why they were upset. But they had to be upset.
But I do think, because I don't want to discount their argument
wholesale. I do.
Because...
And I will.
I think we've certainly said it. I've been saying it for longer than most. One of AEW's big issues over the last 6 months, I would argue almost a year, is that they lack some really decent stories. And that, like, there's a substance issue with... the substance issue is the wrong word. Like, it's a, I did not mean that in any other way that you could interpret it. I genuinely meant substance, like something has substance.
Yeah, of course.
But that's been missing from AEW programming.
For sure.
I feel like they're really starting to get it back. Like, every week I feel you get it back more and more and more. But I feel like there is... Maybe some people are getting, you know, well, I'm just so frustrated that this isn't the AEW I used to follow and fell in love with over the pandemic years. And then they see yet another match of someone they have no idea who they are. And they're like, oh, it's just that all over again. I feel like, you know, that could have been just something that flared up what was actually a bit more of a legitimate concern that we have all expressed. It was done in a babyish crybaby way. My larger point to come back to was, I think that backlash and a lot of backlashes on Twitter seem to have pushed AEW to go overboard. And I think this episode, whether it was always the plan or whether it was because that they were getting some flack online, this was excellent.
It was,
because
yeah.
There were so many, everything had a story. There were character beats everywhere. Things progressed. I was so worried last week that we wouldn't see Hangman and Omega touch for a month. I was worried that we wouldn't get MJF follow-up at all. We didn't hear, but we did get a really nice, subtle follow-up on it. But we got really meaty, substance-filled chapters to develop all of those best stories.
I don't think we'll ever know whether it's correlation or causation that the where's the story crowd prompted Tony Khan to essentially be like, well, oh, you want story, do you? Here's all the story you can eat. You know, something like that. I don't know if we'll ever truly know that. But I think there are slightly two different things here. You are right that AEW has...
Let's get onto the Ultra Chats. Heard all we need to hear. Thank you, Luke.
So I just play the outro music.
Play it. We should do that more often.
Oh, we do it a lot on the Raw podcast.
Sorry.
But anyway,
carry on.
Yeah, no, you are right. AEW has had some story issues. I think in 2022 in particular, when they kind of got a little bit bogged down with the Forbidden Door stuff and they had a lot of their top guys out. I was really thinking about this like the other day. There was a period of time when they had Danielson, Cole, Punk, O'Reilly, and Joe was off TV because he was filming things. I was like, oh wow, all these new stars that you brought in are all gone, and you're sort of you're floundering away and stuff. But like, that's a different issue. They did have some story issues, I would say. Come Full Gear, I feel like, this is a new point for us. And then TV sort of dipped off a little bit again. I think the MJF Danielson stuff was good story. That was really good, meaty story, good character stuff in there, because that's what MJF really excels at. I don't think that is the same argument as the where's the story for Omega versus Vikingo. And I also think they're two different people as well. You are looking at it from an AEW fan that is, where's that AEW that I liked? Whereas I think the where's the story crowd were more the, I just will never like anything that AEW does. This is why the company is mud, because they don't have any stories.
Yeah. Well, those people definitely exist, and I can't help them.
No.
But I know personally several jaded AEW fans, and it's their main grievance. So when people don't really think about it, you know, you can just conflate the same things. I can see how they would have got there. So yeah, whatever the situation is, I think AEW have put on a show that has set up so much story that I'm so excited for. I loved everything on this show. This felt like a proper, oh my God, 85% and above plus genuine episode.
Yeah, and it had a proper like 1998 Raw finale to
yes.
it as well.
And I was thinking about, because I loved last week's episode too, such a great vibe. And that moment when Hangman had the Elite slide in behind him and he didn't know they were there, it was like, and I loved MJF, Bryan Danielson. I've really enjoyed a lot of stuff that's happened on AEW since Double or Nothing last year. But that moment when the Elite slid in, I was like, oh, that's the quality.
Yeah.
And it just made me realize, and I don't want to say anything bad against Max, because it was great, but that was great. And it had an all-time great match at the end of it. But the stuff that they were doing last year, which we got at the end of last week and was followed up on here, is actually the top tier.
And very interesting you make that point, because I've actually only decided to piece some of this together. Who was missing for a lot of 2022?
Kenny.
And the Elite as a whole. Because the Bucks were gone for a little bit. The Bucks weren't really a focus in the tag team division. Then they were sort of like gone a little bit. Then they did the trio stuff. Then they all got suspended. Then they came back, you know, towards the end of the year. So for the majority of last year, we didn't have any follow-up to what we did at Full Gear 2021 when Hangman won the belt. And so we then just moved into the Punk verse instead. And we'll just do all of the Punk stuff instead. And all the Moxley verse. And we'll just sort of focus around on that. Now, all of a sudden, Kenny and the Elite and Hangman and Callis are almost like the focus of the show again.
Mm.
You know, like when Kenny Omega made his entrance on the show, I was like, oh, we should build the entire promotion around
him. I know.
Why don't we just build the entire promotion around this man? He's the greatest wrestler on the planet.
When was the last time Kenny got a singles entrance?
Well, this is his first singles match since, I can't even think what his last one was, but it was like 2021.
It wasn't Full Gear, the Hangman match. Obviously, he wrestled Ospreay in New Japan, but that was different.
Yes. Yeah, in AEW.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think his last singles match might have been that match, yeah.
That's mad. I forgot his entrance. So and I was like, I got so excited for North Carolina and all the bits that Justin Roberts was saying.
And his last singles TV match, you've got to go probably even further than Full Gear as well. So I think that AEW has really missed Omega. It's really missed the Elite and like them doing the Elite storyline that AEW fans are really, really into, and they're into that lore. You know, that moment when the Bucks and Kenny slid in last week, crowd going nuts for it. We kind of led with that as our things, like, this is so exciting. And then you go people resharing images from previous times, and it's like, oh, they've literally mirrored something they have done previously, because they are always doing these things. It is a fabulous little story, and I think they're great characters and great wrestlers and great performers. And, you know, Tempest was telling me this earlier, like, I stayed up to watch Dynamite last night because I was so excited to see this match. And he's like, I've decided now, I want Dynamite to be being the Elite with wrestling. I just want, the focus of Dynamite to be being the Elite. To be the Elite.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can, like, I think the golden era of AEW, everyone had their little pocket verses, and occasionally they crossed over. So you've got the Cody verse. You don't like that? Don't worry. We've got the Being the Elite series that's coming up. Don't like that? We've got MJF and CM Punk.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this great mix.
Like Cody was basically doing, here's all the things I like from NWA and WCW. And then Kenny and the Bucks were like, here's all the things we like from PWG and New Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were like, and just doing what you wanted. That's what you tuned in for.
CM Punk and Dax going, remember that Bret Hart match? Let's do that one. And MJF's like, oh, I remember this really good promo from Mid-South that I watched on a tape. But we've kind of gotten away from the point of Omega versus Vikingo. But now, seeing that we're on it, should we talk about what was the crux of this episode? Which was right at the start of the episode, cold open, really fun open, opens on the action, as they would say in storytelling. Hangman is outside an ambulance, and he's like, we need someone to go with the ambulance with Nick. And then Matt's being stretchered in, and Kenny's like, I need to go with him. And Don's like, you've got a match. So Hangman goes off with Matt Jackson in the ambulance. All of a sudden, Hangman and the Bucks are gone, and Don is making Kenny stay.
Because that's what Don wants. Don has realized, you know, when they lost the Trios titles, where I even said to you, I was like, looks like Don's annoyed that they're losing. We thought maybe that would be a split from the Elite. No, it's he's trying to drive Kenny away from the Elite because he wants him to be Kenny by God Omega.
Because what's Don's best meal ticket? It's a single star AEW champion, Don Callis. Don Callis makes the most kayfabe money when Kenny is a singles champion.
Yeah.
And he is a filtered down version of him when he's with his Elite buddies.
I think there was a really smart bit of business as well, and bit of booking and like show layout by AEW, because I think this show was going to have a really big lead in. So Tony was promoting, was talking about this a lot during the week. They've changed. It's not the Big Bang Theory. It's something else. Like it's like The Accountant or something. So there's going to be like a big viewing thing that Tony was like, this is going to have a massive lead in for us in Dynamite. And I noticed that the plan they had, because they open with this cold open, hot story, this thing now. They're like, oh, a lot of intrigue in here. And in the opening match, there was a lot of commentary explaining who wrestlers were. And Sting wrestled in the opener.
Yeah.
That's who, like, if you're expecting an overrun of, you know, people over, you have Sting wrestle, because that's how you're going to bring those lap fans in. And then you're spending the rest of time being like, and this is Orange Cassidy, this is what he does. This is Darby Allin, that's what he does. And you just kind of structure the show then to hopefully keep people around.
Yeah, a lot of good recap packages as well. Hype package of Omega Vikingo to get over the idea that this is a dream match. Later on, it's a whodunit.
Yeah.
As well, at the end of the day, it's one of the most effective played out tropes in TV, the detective story. It's a very reliable narrative plot driver.
It was Buddy Matthews.
To get people to stick around. It was Eric Rowan's evil twin. Later on, Kenny's like, backstage, I need to go and be with my friends. And Don Callis is like, no. It might even be better that they're not here. And as soon as he said that, I was like, Don, you carny piece of...
Yeah.
You did this.
He even said, the kids will be gone for a couple of months. They'll be back in a couple of months. It'll be fine. Mm. Already planting that seed in his head. We'll have a couple of months of you as a singles wrestler.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, that's good. And then there was the amazing match. Omega won with the one-winged angel. We will talk about the match because it's just incredible. But afterwards... the Blackpool Combat Club appear. They attack Omega, who's doing an in-ring promo with Tony Schiavone in the post-match. Blackpool Combat Club beating down Omega, and then like, oh, okay, that they're the people who beat up the Bucks. Resolution. Yeah. And then the ambulance noise hits. It's not Scott Steiner, unfortunately. It's Hangman Page.
Yeah.
A good second option. He has stolen an ambulance from the hospital, having seen John Moxley beat up Stu Grayson earlier on. So, you know, like time-wise, it works out as well. And he gets out and everyone cheers. Takes a while, because he's got to make his way from the ambulance to the entrance bit. Play my music.
Yep.
The Hangman's music hits to a great pop. A
crowd shining cowboy-esque.
I was concerned it wouldn't be as big a pop because you'd seen him in the ambulance.
Yeah.
But it was still really good. Hangman comes down, Blackpool Combat Club scarper, because he's got a
board with nails in it.
That'll do it. And Omega's down. He's been beat up. And Callis goes to touch Hangman on the shoulder. Hangman turns around, goes to hit him, but realizes it's not another enemy. Or is it? And Callis just keeps on yanking on his wrist and eventually does an Eddie Guerrero fake bump. Omega stands to his feet. What's happened here? Hangman, why have you beaten up Callis? And Callis is pointing at Hangman Page.
Yeah, pointing at him being like, we didn't. And Hangman's there pleading with him, like, I didn't hit him. Like, of course I didn't hit him. And Omega's like, I knew it. I absolutely knew this about you. And I think that's why Kenny was so upset backstage as well in that earlier segment. It's not just he didn't get to go to be with Matt and Nick. Hangman went instead. And he doesn't think Hangman is as good of a friend to the Bucks as he is.
And it's not just... They used to be tag team champions together, Omega and Page. It's such a great story. I like how they're teasing, just like they did with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And you saw how cathartic that eventual hug was. Even though you could argue they could have definitely hugged on that Raw after Elimination Chamber.
Or even at Elimination Chamber,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. But they teased it out, they teased it out, they teased it out. And it, yeah, it was actually a good idea in the end.
Yeah, it really was. And there's a lot you can do here. You know, we've kind of been doing a lot of fancy booking in the office of, you know, because you've got some pay-per-views coming up. You've also got Forbidden Door 2 coming up. And how do you play into that? And Tempest made the decision, like, oh, you could do the Hung Bucks on one side versus Omega, Takeshita, and Ibushi on the other. And I said, no, if you're going to do this Forbidden Door, you want to do is Omega, Takeshita, and Okada. That's the trio you want to have there on the other side.
Especially because there is no way New Japan is working with Ibushi.
Yeah, well, that was my thinking.
Sorry,
yeah.
Sorry, Tempest. Sorry to break your mark heart. I think based on how callous was for the whole show, how he's been since they lost the trio's titles, mm-hmm. I remember he sort of pushed in front of Omega and stole the microphone to answer that JAS promo two weeks ago. Like, there's been some really well-laid friction seeds laid. I think Callis paid the Blackpool Combat Club.
It's starting to feel like it is him that did that.
Mm.
He is setting this all up. He is the puppet master here, the invisible hand job. And he is not orchestrating the Combat Club, but paying them off to go and attack them so he can get Omega away from the Elite and get him back into just being a singles guy.
Which is such a great motivation. He's also doing a lot of stuff with Takeshita.
Yes.
He wants to recruit Takeshita. He's been doing this for 3 months, I think, now, on Dark and indie shows.
Yeah.
It's not really been a feature on Dynamite. I think he watched a match from backstage.
He did, yeah. I think it was might have been during the Max match or maybe the Danielson match he was watching backstage. So he's, like, keeping an eye on Takeshita.
So I don't know if this is the route they're going. I don't know how Callis would really fit with the Blackpool Combat Club.
As in their new leader.
Yeah, if he's the new manager and he recruits Takeshita, I think Takeshita's a fantastic fit for them.
That was someone else. I can't remember who it was now. It might have been Pete was saying that maybe Takeshita joins Blackpool Combat Club and Don Callis becomes the new de facto head of that dojo, and that's the new heel faction. I mean, it could work, but also, and then, like, you then have Danielson on the side of the Elite. And, you know, going up against the Blackpool Combat Club. So we were talking about, you know, are you going to have Danielson back in BCC, or are you going to have Danielson going against this new heel faction?
Blind Carbon Copy.
That's exactly it. Or do you have him join the Elite? There's lots of various different options here, and there's not, like, a bad option in any of it either. Sorry if I felt distracted. I wanted to read you Don Callis's tweet that he put out early because it really made me laugh. Whereas only March and the God of Pro Wrestling, Kenny Omega, already has two of the best singles matches of 2023. We are back. For those who are concerned, my knee is a little stiff, but better. Prayers to the Bucks.
He's the best. Tempest said Callis is his favorite non-wrestler personality.
Yeah.
I just feel like he's not had enough. He usually is mine. I think all time it's got to be Heyman, right?
Mm.
But Callis just needs a bit more TV time, and because he's definitely there, but he's not been around for a year.
Yeah, yeah.
No Kenny, no Callis. I think if I'm booking it, Danielson joins BCC, Blind Carbon Copy, comes back, that's a unit, and you go against Bucks, Hangman, Kenny, and that's when you bring in Ibushi.
Yeah.
Don't have the New Japan complication then either.
That's true, yeah.
Very exciting stuff. And the match was bloody good as well.
Yeah, I was going to say. And then amongst all of this is perhaps one of the best Dynamite matches of all time. The dream match of Kenny Omega versus El Hijo del I struggle with this.
I just say the king.
I didn't do Spanish at school, so I'm very bad at this. So El Hijo del Vikingo, whatever. I'm very bad at this, so apologies. But this match was, and they gave it time. The final half hour of this show was dedicated to this, including entrances and stuff. Vikingo comes out, AAA mega champion. And this was, for a lot of people, the first time seeing Vikingo wrestle. And this was a match that was designed. Kenny basically went out there to be like, give me all of your best spots. And Vikingo was like, here are all the things I could do. He's like, well, we'll do all of those. Like, we're not just going to pick and choose. Let's do every single one of your spots. So let's do the implosion Dragon Rana. Let's do your inverted springboards 630s. Let's do your 630s off the top. Let's do your inside out Phoenix splashes. Like, let's just do every single one of them, and I'll just work around you and make you look as great as possible.
Yeah, it was. You've said that there were so many spots in this match. I was listening to Wrestling Observer Radio, and Meltzer told a story that Ospreay watched a Vikingo match, but I think against Commander maybe. And Ospreay went, how'd he do that? So when you've got Ospreay going, what? And Alvarez said, like, he didn't feel like he was watching wrestling. He felt like he was watching, like, what maybe wrestling would look like on the moon, where there's less gravity.
He does feel like, you know, the gravity, the man that gravity forgot was Pax gimmick in WWE. Like, legit, it does feel like Vikingo doesn't know what the concept of gravity is. And he is definitely made of elastic.
Like, the luchadors AEW have got access to and the way they let them run wild really does feel like the best parts of WCW from back in the day. I wrote it in my notes. I was like, this feels like, I wasn't watching WCW when Rey Mysterio started, but I've watched loads of documentaries about people talking about how it made them feel when they first saw Rey wrestle. Because by the time I saw Rey wrestle, he was not past that, but he was in WWE. He wasn't really doing those same kinds.
7 years into his North American run, more or less.
Yeah, yeah. This felt like, for me, what I imagine it felt like for them. And Rey Mysterio changed the game for so many people.
Me and Tempest reviewed Bash at the Beach 96 for Wrestle Talk Extra, and that opens with Mysterio and Psychosis. Mm. And a lot of that is Mike Tenay explaining to the audience, this is what a Hurricane Rana is. Like, that move right there, that's called a Hurricane Rana, and it's a very popular thing. And, like, explaining what masks mean and everything like that. And it was watching the audience was almost as interesting as watching the in-ring wrestling, because it was watching an audience being like, oh, I don't know who these two guys are. But by then we'd be like, oh my God, this is the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. And that is kind of what happened here, but slightly different, because we've got more open access to a lot of different styles of wrestling. So people, the audience there, maybe 40, 50%, maybe even 60% knew who Vikingo was and had seen a Vikingo match, or at least seen a Vikingo gif, and knew what to expect. But it started here in terms of, like, reaction, and then just grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. And I was like, it's like star making performance stuff. It was absolutely stunning,
because it's not just the insane athleticism. This was just an excellent layout of a match. There was one bit where I was like, oh my God, what a match this is. It feels like they're working towards the finish. I think it was the first One Winged Angel attempt, and I just move my timeline. 8 minutes left. I was like, yes! There's 8 minutes more of this. I think it had already gone 10, 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, and I was really impressed by Vikingo's selling.
Yeah, he's great.
And his strikes. He's not just a flippy flipperoo.
I really like that. They brought this up on commentary, was sort of about how he probably shouldn't go strike for strike with Omega, because he is taller and larger and he will outstrike Vikingo. And then Vikingo starts striking back. And I think Taz goes like, oh, my mistake. So turns out he might be all right.
It really, really felt like when I watched Ospreay Ricochet, and I was like, wow, this is, I didn't know you could do that in a ring. And I don't think a lot of people thought they could do that in a ring. And all of a sudden, it pushed the boundaries of what wrestling is. This felt, for me at least, because I know he's been wrestling down in Mexico forever, well, for a couple of years, it felt like the boundaries were redrawn. And I think wrestling technique is somehow going to get better. And I just keep thinking, surely that's the limit of the human body. And then this comes along. Yeah, very exciting.
It was really, really cool. I don't know, like, because we might not see Vikingo a lot in AEW, because, you know, I know they do a lot of talent exchanges with AAA and stuff. But as I said, like, I felt this was here to facilitate a rematch at AAA's next big show. Maybe they'll do this in the summer. Kind of in the same way that the New Japan Wrestle Kingdom match with Omega and Ospreay was more or less to facilitate a rematch at Forbidden Door 2. And I like that, because I get two great wrestling matches again. I get more great wrestling, but B, it's a good bit of business working between all the partners and making sure that everybody is happy.
It's like the NWA back in the day, when you'd have one champion and you build the rematches to go to your territory, and you would make more money that way.
Yeah.
It's smart.
I thought this was an awesome, awesome, awesome match. Kenny Omega is the best wrestler on the planet. I'm sorry, Mr. Ospreay, but you are not the wrestling god. I'm sorry, Mr. Danielson, but you are not Kenny by God Omega. He's the best wrestler on the planet.
When you said this a few weeks ago, I was like, but it's Max, you know. And then I didn't get it with Danielson. I was like, it's still Max. And then this match happened. I thought of you and I went, nah, it's Omega again. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Let's get into your Omega chat. Speaking of, we've spoken quite a lot there about the main event, so we'll rattle through these and the rest of the show. Kevin says, first off, wishing Alexa a speedy recovery. Dynamite was another great episode. The main event ruled. Everything else was fine to really good. Do you think that this victory was just a one-off, or could it lead to a AAA mega title match for Kenny?
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, just answered. Corey H. Mox said, it's just business, before attacking Stu. Stu called Hangman. Hangman showed up. Don caused drama. Don hired Blackpool Combat Club to jump Stu to get Hangman there so Don could fall over and make them fight. BCC with Takeshita versus the Golden Elite and Hanger.
I think you're right on most of that. I don't think that he got them to jump Stu so that they could call Hangman, because that, for Don Callis to do that, he needs to imagine sort of four things that are going to happen. Mm. Four dominoes have got to fall down in order for that. Oh. Whereas if he'd just got Blackpool Combat Club to attack, Hangman's probably going to show up and then he'd be like, cool, now I've got to do what I want to do. Crazy bump.
I will say, I'm sure they've got a plan to fix this, but Kenny can easily watch the replay.
It's true, yeah.
So that will have to be tied up before next week.
I mean, this is what Andy Datson kept saying as well, because Andy Datson was watching this. He did not like the match, and he spent the entire time criticizing the match. Mm. But that was also his big thing. So I was like, well, this makes no sense. Kenny can just watch the replay. Kenny can just watch.
But they will. In the moment, it made sense.
In the moment, it completely makes sense. And as we saw after Full Gear 2021, you know, in the post-match after that, Kenny was like, look, I haven't had a chance to go back and watch the match yet, so I don't really know what happened. So maybe he never even went back and watched Full Gear. Maybe he'll never go back to watch this. We know he doesn't have cable.
Mm-hmm. John Rice says, Spanish lesson, boys. Repeat after me. El Hijo del Vikingo.
El Hijo del Vikingo.
El Hijo del Vikingo. Say it fast now. That's how you pronounce El Hijo del Vikingo.
Nice.
That actually works. I've been struggling with that all day. I was just about to give up on Dynamite and just keep up with watching you lovely gents, but damn, it does Tony know how to win my heart over again. Great wrestling, great story, great Dynamite. I'm dating a woman named Megan Ollie. Hopefully not the same. Charles Burke, I can't comprehend the athletics on display in the main event. I'm but a simple man who makes really good bad jokes that sometimes land. Sometimes they come true, like 2 years ago when I called The Miz the Jizz. Now he's singing about his balls and coming.
Well,
ahead of the game.
Ahead of the game.
Ronan C, how dare Hangman get my hopes up thinking Scott Steiner was coming to save Kenny?
We were watching The Office when the ambulance thing played. Dave Bradshaw went, oh, Scott Steiner.
Yeah. Charles Burke, I can't comprehend. I need another pronunciation lesson.
Adrian.
Gronlandwell Adrian.
I've never been back for 19 months.
Thank you. I've never seen a wrestler like Vikingo before. Hope Tony can get him more regularly.
Well, apparently, like Danielson has talked about this openly, that they have smoothed out the relationship between AEW and AAA after Triple H was trying to muddy those waters. There was a tweet I saw earlier that really made me laugh on that note, which was like, I just watched the Finn Kagan match. I think it's great. I think if he slows down by 30% and spends 6 months in the NXT, he'll be ready.
He's got to learn how to work TV, Luke. Juan Perez, Memberg for 18 months. Kenny match of the night, mm-hmm. always. Mr. Higglesby, 18 months as a Memberg. Hey, any news about the channel? Maybe even a video we can see? Ending bothered me. All Kenny has to do is rewatch what happened and see Don Line. Yeah, well, we think that in that moment, it makes sense. But yeah, they will need to address that next week.
Yeah.
About the channel. Any new? Are you talking about
the channel update video?
Or the channel update video on WrestleTalk? You can go and watch that. There's an update video on this channel as well. Baxter Cowhig. Hey, you there, lads. Long-time watcher, first-time chatter. Does anyone else feel like the BCC's heel turn hasn't really been explained months after their mentors leaving? Or did I miss a you people promo?
No, but I think it doesn't need to be explained. I don't think they needed to have a promo to come and be like, and this is why we're baddies now.
I feel like it was told through the Hangman Page feud.
Yeah.
It's
told through actions as opposed to a promo.
Usually I would, I think most other examples with AEW, I would agree. But this is one actually where I think it's been quite a natural, seamless transition for them. Esteban Ramos Diaz. Hey guys, first time super chatting. I've been watching you since 2017. Thanks for the great content and always teaching me how to do it. Also, Ollie, trust me, pronouncing Hio is not that hard when you compare to Spanish words like.
Yeah, have a go.
Quetzalcoatl.
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 I hope I'm not just saying an awful, awful slur there. Don't know what that means. I'm Just Marcus says, the main event was amazing and I loved it, as well as the building story of the Elite coming back to take on the BCC. I'm just a little worried, though, that Max may start to feel secondary to that story. Thoughts? Jam at jam and have a great day.
Thank you very much. Sorry, I got distracted.
Well, with Max, I actually really like how you've got this Elite story with the like loads of interconnected factions. The Dark Order in the mix. BCC are in the mix. You've still got House of Black and JES kind of weirdly in there too. That's everything else, which gives this really cool idea of the four pillars space to do their own thing in the main event title picture.
That's what I would say as well. It almost feels like the four of them, or at least three of the four, the one who isn't the champion, don't really feel like they could main event a pay-per-view. Because they've had their time, they've been built up in this and the other, but they don't quite feel like they are at that point yet. But it's fine, because you've got this huge storyline that's happening over here that people are really interested in. And it's like the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
On Royal Rumble, you can do maybe some smaller style matches, because the Rumble's the selling point.
Yeah.
Depending on what you got planned for Double or Nothing, really. But I find it very exciting what they're doing there. And also, it just presents the idea of having two main event storylines.
Yeah. And also just the idea that, you know, like, well, why isn't Kenny facing Max? Why isn't Hangman facing Max? They're occupied.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. This name hasn't been recorded from Streamlabs. So please do tell the mods what your name is and we'll hopefully give you a shout out. Hello, Luke and Ollie. Managed to get my tickets for Forbidden Door 2 yesterday. That's a hot ticket. Going to be my first live pay-per-view. Great Dynamite last night. My dream scenario would be a BCC with Danielson Takeshita versus Elite and a debuting Kota Ibushi to even the odds.
Maybe a debuting Jay White.
You don't want... That's not the right story.
It's not that. No, Kenny will be like, hey, well, I want my boyfriend here.
Yeah. Elterums says, actually forget the Ultra Chats for a moment. Let me just a second say I personally thought the Omega Vikingo match would have been better if Weezer performed the entrances. Again, this is my own opinion. I'm not reading this from anywhere. Weezer?
I don't know.
It's weird, because I don't know if they've listened to our WrestleMania X8 review yet, where loads of entrance themes were performed.
Yeah, well, I don't think we ever said it'd be better if these were Weezer, though.
I think he's referencing my begrudging love of Weezer.
I don't think anyone has begrudged. Everyone, we all love Weezer. It's just frustrating.
And then they followed up. Wow, that's a really strange opinion about Weezer, Ollie. I don't understand what's happening.
Maybe we should just get into the rest of the show.
Yes, let's do that. We will do this at a rather fast clip because we spoke a lot about the opening. There's a lot to get through. The show after the cold open kicked off with Orange Cassidy, Darby Allin and Sting versus Kip Sabian, Butcher and the Blade. Match set up on the house show. Even this has a story.
I know, right?
Everything has a story.
Oh, I hear you like stories. Here's all the stories you can eat. Nom, nom, nom.
And what it really was a way for Sting to have a lovely birthday party and do all of Orange Cassidy's spots. It was so much fun. Everyone was brilliant in this. Love Kip Sabian.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed Sting. Sting was having a great time in this match and was having a ball. If I was to be nitpicky about this, if you'll allow me to pick some nits right here, I would have had Darby get the win.
Yeah, but it's Sting.
Look, I think AEW do legends better than any promotion on the planet. Just look at Jeff Jarrett. But I think that in this instance, particularly because you then follow this up with the four pillar recap, it probably should have been Darby to be the one that got the pin.
Darby was too busy being emo.
And like it tells.
What do you want him, Darby, to do? Like, do the pin in the ring and let Sting do the dive outside? He's 64 years old.
There was a period of time where we couldn't stop Sting doing the dive to the outside.
I hope he does now fully transition to only Orange Cassidy offense, which is a lot less taxing on the body.
Sting is literally like, you're a genius. look how many less bumps you have to take now.
So he's doing the, the little kicks. And I think he's squared up to Blade. And he does low effort chest pounding.
It's one of my favorite things in Dynamite history is when Orange Cassidy and Sting did have their face off and they traded super kicks. And then they had a begrudging respect when Orange Cassidy gave him the thumbs up. And he just went,
yeah. I love how, so many veteran wrestlers are quite vocal on their hate for Orange Cassidy. So I really appreciate the ones who do. Sting and Shibata. Like, come on.
Sting did the roll, the log rolls across the ring to avoid Kip Sabian doing splashes. It was great.
So much fun. But yeah, Darby did then look up to the WrestleMania sign. I mean, the double or nothing sign, which was hanging over the audience. I think the only time that was shown all night.
Yeah.
It's an expensive shot. But I really appreciate it because I'm watching the match. I'm like, this was before that this amazing episode played out. I was like, Darby's just going to be like lost in this match. Like, how would I book this? Would I have MJF run in? Would I have Sammy run in to cost him something or brawl? Just to further that great angle from last week. And then, Sting got the win. I was like, well, that was really fun, but just same old AEW, right? But then they have this shot of Darby, arms on the ropes, looks up, and it's like he has a flashback of what happened last week because they use that, the transition into, well, here's what he's thinking about. Here's a recap of the Rebar Mitzvah segment with the four pillars. And I was just like, that was really well done, actually.
Yeah, really good.
My only concern, it was the double or nothing sign, which is 2 and a bit months away.
Yeah. Time, there's 4 of them. There's a really simple way around this. You don't do anything for 3 weeks. That cuts off a good third of your time frame.
I guess if you've got Jungle Boy, Sammy Guevara and Darby Allin all having to win 5 separate matches for the right to compete against Max. That you probably would need that length of time. What do you think they'll do? I think 4-way is the way to go. But
4-way,
you could have a triple threat with the winner facing MJF.
Yeah, you could do
that. So then you've
got
2 phases of the story. The first month is the triple threat story, and then it's the winner of that feuding with Max directly.
You could do that, but I would probably just double or nothing the fatal 4-way.
I'm more into the 4-way idea.
Yeah, but it's trying to find a way to get there. Because I kind of like the idea of a triple threat of Darby, Jungle Boy, and Sammy, but it's trying to find a way to make sure that you don't have the one of them doesn't just win, so it's a singles match. I think the fatal 4-way makes the most sense.
Well, I mean, the thing that makes most sense is a tag match. How will they coexist? We had the Kenny and Vikingo video package. We got Guns versus the Top Flight. Bit of a filler match, really. Top Flight were cost the match by the Kingdom. They're feuding in Ring of Honor. The Kingdom are built up further by losing on Rampage. Sorry for the spoiler. And the Guns won with the 3-10 to Yuma, and this was a setup for FTR to come out. FTR came out. They won a title rematch. They'll do anything, but the Guns won't give it to them. Oh, well, we will never challenge for the titles again. No.
I actually thought Colton was really great in this, but it was like, I'm hearing it. No.
Yeah, he's a great promo, that one.
Yeah.
Whichever one it is, he's a great promo.
Yeah.
The other one's pretty good, but yeah.
But the other one is better.
He's great. So then Cash is like, we'll never tag again in AEW.
Oh, that's something I'm reading with. We'll never tag again. No.
And Dax says, the only thing he really knows how to these days, tease that he's going to leave AEW. If we don't beat you, we will leave AEW for good.
Yeah. I think it's a really smart bit of booking here.
Yeah.
Really nice way to play up to and to build up to their tag team match, whether that be on a special Dynamite or that is going to be a Double or Nothing. Because this is what Dax does in his spare time. It's sort of like working people into being like, oh, we're staying, oh, we're leaving, diddly diddly do. Oh, I'm just going to put up a tweet here. We've made our decision. We'll let you know as soon as possible. Me and Cash have talked about it. And then you do this angle here, so it makes it sound like that this is the way to write them out of TV, which will add extra drama into, because you don't really know what decision they made, or whether they're going to leave or whether they're going to stay.
Yeah, even though I fully 100% believe they have re-signed because of Common Sense and PW Insider's report from a month ago, I'd be lying if I said when they do those near falls in the eventual match, I'm going to be like,
yeah, it's going to work, man. Yeah, it's going to work. They're very, very good storytellers.
I imagine it would happen in April. Because Dax's tweet said, you'll know come April.
Ah.
Which I'm all for. Like, no offense, Guns. The quicker we can take the title belts off you, the better. And then FTR can build to the bigger Double or Nothing program.
Who would you like it to be? Kingdom?
Team TNA.
You know, when you're right, you're right.
No, but seriously, who would it be?
Because I don't think you want to just do the Acclaimed again.
No. You won't want to beat them. I mean, it depends what the Elite and Blackpool Combat Club are doing, because the Bucks is right there always.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Moxley and Claudio.
Yeah, or even Claudio and you.
Yeah, yeah, take a
while. What Moxley's doing.
But yeah, we'll see. There's options, but I can't see what route that would be right now. Jay Cargill and Mark Sterling are going to serve papers to Taya Valkyrie that she cannot use her version of the Jaded, which is her finisher, Ride of the Valkyries, in AEW because it's Jade's move.
So I've often made fun of Vince McMahon's lack of creativity throughout my time on this podcast. One of his favorite things in the world he always tried to get over was the intellectual giant. That was one of his big... That was his favorite character in the world, and he could never get it over. The intellectual monster gave it to multiple different people, and it never got over. I think Tony's version of that is lawyer-based stuff. Because it feels like every couple of months, we have this backstage segment, and Tony's like, eventually this is going to get over. I've just got to find that one, just one of them to work.
Well, I really like Mark Sterling. I think he's a really great performer on screen. Yeah, but I agree. I don't love him being paired with Jade, because it does, like, Jade's cooler. You don't want to just do in legal notice things. But when he was with Max, which is how he came in as well, really good. Makes perfect sense that Max would be trying to find every sniveling way out of confrontation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do agree, yeah. Or do you think it's just Mark Sterling in the back of booking meetings?
Maybe you could do a papers notice.
People should be asking, if he's not on screen, where's smart Mark Sterling?
Stokely Hathaway took on Hook. A bit of fun here. Stokely tried to get out of the match with a doctor's note, but the doctor's note was written on the back of a receipt for something.
If you actually zoom in as well, it does say he is sick.
few hardcore spots in this.
He basically announces, I'm not medically cleared. I've got a doctor's note. No, I'm not medically cleared. He hands it over to the referee, Justin Roberts. And then he grabs the microphone. He's like, I'm also going to use this opportunity to announce I'm officially retiring from professional wrestling.
Hook beat him, of course. You had the firm watching on from backstage. Matt Hardy and EC. I always do that. Ethan Page.
It is Ethan Page.
I was going to say Ethan Carter. I was just going to make the same mistake again, but the non-abbreviated form. this was fun. I've not really been into it. I want Hook to do something serious.
Yeah,
he gets a lot of comedy.
Yeah, I think I could go for that. I thought this was everything you want out of a cool wrestler versus non-wrestling persona,
yeah.
Which is you had some fun comedy, the manager took crazy bumps, and then the other guy just dominated and won. Cool, grand.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
You really got your money's worth to see the manager get the receipts.
Yeah, literally.
Adam Cole came out for what I think was his first in-ring promo since the January one.
Yeah, since he came out for his in-ring promo to announce he was back.
Of course, he has been used to announce reality shows and other more important things, but this was the first one in the ring in front of the crowd because he will be wrestling next week, which is hugely exciting. But who will his opponent be? Daniel Garcia's music hits. And I'm not going to lie, when he came out, I thought, okay. Well, I guess so. That's a fine first opponent. Maybe it's more submission-based and it won't hurt Adam as much away from the head. By the end of this promo, I was like, yes, please, sign me up. This looks awesome.
They sold me a ticket. I had the exact same thing that you did when he came out. I was like, huh. You know, it's not the worst thing. There could have been like, there'd have been like 10 other people that I would have come in and I'd been like, that's a worse option. Could have been QT Marshall. Yeah. I'd have been like, you know, that is a worse option for Adam Cole's first match back. Yeah, but it's sort of a middling choice. And Garcia cut this promo. And I was like, oh no, this is a great choice. This is awesome. It also explains why he beat Brody King on Rampage.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, this is great. And I thought Garcia was great. I thought Adam Cole was awesome in this segment. Genuinely made me really excited for next week's match.
Well, I know Adam Cole's awesome. I'm amazed at how great a babyface he is. Although I still think he's going to turn here. I've just been cheated on by Adam Cole so many times.
Yeah. Well, also because I'm looking at this Elite storyline and Blackpool Combat, I was like, sometimes these numbers don't add up. Oh, there's an Adam Cole right there.
But I was so impressed with Garcia's delivery here. He has come a hell of a long way in the last year. And, you know, you probably attribute a lot of that to working so closely with Jericho and that faction. But I think now's the time to get rid of that because seeing him here, when he ran through all the people he'd beaten Brody King, he'd beaten Ricky Starks. And when he said the final one, I was like, oh man, you're right. I forgot about that. He's beaten Bryan Danielson.
Yeah.
He has main evented more episodes of AEW TV than anyone else in the company.
That's nuts when you think about it.
They have done a really good job of low-key building him up. Unfortunately, they just pulled the plug or maybe jump-started that story too early of his split with the JS because there was such a good line in here and this should have been the first time we ever got any dissension between Garcia and the JS. He says, after saying, you know, I've beaten these guys, I've main evented all the time, I'm the best pro sports entertainer. And the whole crowd went,
oh,
such a good idea. This was terrifically written. What a tease.
I particularly loved as well, because when he slipped up, when he went to say pro wrestler, he caught himself and he looked down the barrel of the camera with a, don't give me that reaction.
Mm.
Sports entertainer. It was great.
Very, very good stuff. Yeah, just wish we didn't go through that whole non-story in August. Alex Mark, then we got the Omega and Callis stuff backstage. John Moxley had a really good match with Stu Grayson, particularly like the last half was Stu Grayson's comeback.
Yeah.
He's just a comeback king.
He's so cool.
But ultimately, Mox got the win with the Avalanche Death Rider.
Particularly, so I loved the finish of this because Moxley gets in the Bulldog choke and Stu Grayson gets to his feet with Moxley on his back, still choking him out. The referee does the arm thing. He gets his arms up and he powers himself up and he runs at the corner and cannonballs himself into the corner, cannonballing John Moxley in the process. And you're like, oh man, this is going to set up something amazing for Stu Grayson. Moxley's like, nope, Avalanche Death Rider, I am putting you down now. And the Dark Order immediately jumped into the ring to protect Grayson because Blackpool Combat Club have set this precedent of attacking after matches, which is also very, very smart because that's what they do later on in the show. They're telling your audience, this is what Blackpool Combat Club do if you're on your own, or, you know, if you're on your own, and we got it later on.
They're a bunch of bullies.
Yeah.
So do you think he's run out of blood now?
Moxley?
Yeah, do you think he's trying to blade every week, but just nothing's coming out? Because that's 2 weeks on the trot.
Maybe, or you know, he's just taking a bit of a breather from it. Maybe he's also reading the Twitter and is just like, yeah, I'm not going to play into the meme this week.
I think he's intentionally changing his style to a more heel submission ground and pound base. Mm. He's not brawling as much. It's more in line with the Blackpool Combat Club ethos.
Yeah.
It just, it, what, like, I love that attention to detail of things. But yeah, really good match. Some really great spots, not just the one you spoke about, but that Nightfall into a bulldog choke was so slick.
Yeah, really, really good. And actually, Stu Grayson's 450 splash, where Moxie felt like he was miles away from him. I was like, ah, he ain't making that. Oh, no, he made it.
Rene interviewed Ricky Starks, called out Juice Robinson for a challenge on Rampage. Not really into this, unfortunately. QTV happened. And they've hacked Wardlow's credit card.
Well, they take credit for hacking Dave Meltzer's Twitter.
Yeah, that as well. This is fun, but again, it's not right for Hobbs.
No.
He wasn't in the video or anything.
No, but he was there as well because he's on Rampage. Mm. He faced a Penta for the title. So, yeah, weird.
And then we got Tony Storm versus Sky Blue, which was a really decent match. Kind of like how Stu Grayson looked great in defeat to Moxie. I thought Sky Blue looked really good here with Tony Storm.
Yeah, they were really putting her over as one of those hot prospects within the AEW Women's Division. I thought this was great.
And the Outcast tried to do the spray paint gimmick at the end, but Rio and Willow Nightingale ran down. Apparently Jamie Hayter has visa issues.
Yeah.
Had to go back to the UK. Why not come out before?
I thought that as well. When Soho and Serrera at ringside, I was like, why is Sky Blue on her Todd?
What, like, what do you think is going to happen
why
here?
Why is she Charlie No Chums? Surely you want to have some backup there. It was so Riho could run down with the lead pipe again.
She could just do that in her entrance. Like Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
I think that would be my only complaint about this. And I suppose if I was to add a secondary nitpick on there, it's sort of the same angle we did last week.
Yeah.
Which is sort of the same angle we did the week before. I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying the Outcast more since they've become a trio, but I'm ready for the next bit of it.
Yeah, I agree, but I'm this is so much better than what they were doing pre-revolution.
Yeah,
but yeah, I do agree overall, because then we got the main event, which we covered in depth. I love this episode. I gave it only 88%, but that is a hard 88%. That is a strong 88%.
I mean, in my other podcast world, we call that a DeLorean. And that's a great mark to get. Mm. It's a respectful mark to get, getting a DeLorean. 5 out of 5 show for me. I enjoyed absolutely everything on the show. I had an absolute blast with it. More like this, please, AEW. The poll is now live in the chat as well. So go there, give you a little click, and let us know what you think. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle.
Well, we've already done all our Patreon shout-outs, so let's get on with the...
But if I may, just do a plug for Patreon, in fact. It was Wednesday yesterday. You know what that means. WrestleTalk Extra went live today, unfortunately, because we only got it recorded yesterday. But it is me and Ollie reviewing WrestleMania X8 with Hogan versus Rock, Austin versus Scott Hall, Triple H versus Stephanie McMahon / Chris Jericho, and the awesome Undertaker-Ric Flair match that we enjoyed way more than we thought we were going to.
Yeah, that was such a good match. It's the longest match on the show.
And the podcast, speaking of long, is 3 hours and 33 minutes.
Actually shorter than the pay-per-view, which is like 3 hours 43.
Yeah.
Yeah, do go over a lot of fun. Last call for Omega Chats, by the way, wrestletalk.com/support. This first one hasn't had their name recorded. Please do let the mods know so we can give you a proper shout out. But they say...
Oh, All Elite Wrestling are in the chat.
Oh.
hey, guys.
No. They've done this before and it wasn't a verified...
This is a verified one. This is a verified All Elite Wrestling channel and they've just said that they thought the show was okay. So, thanks, guys. Thanks for dropping by. Let us know that you thought your show was mid.
Well, I hope there's no anti-AEW chats in here now. It's going to make things very awkward.
But if they are, they do not reflect our thoughts and opinions.
Told you, Tony watches. Thank you for the stories, Tony.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. So, this person whose name hasn't been recorded. Third time, hoping my name shows. Garcia's promo was confusing. Cole, I disagree. Cole never demanded his respect. The busting my ass line, similar to Rollins on Lesnar, made it sound like Cole chose to be off when the dude was injured. Either way, excited for this match.
No, I don't think that is what the Garcia was going for in terms of. It was just more, and if he was, he's also a heel.
Dante Casaroto says, I brought some friends who aren't wrestling fans to the show last night. One of the three has been asking questions about the business and seems excited to watch more. Are live events key to making new fans, or should there be a focus on TV?
A little column A, a little from column B, I guess.
Yeah, if you asked, if you were asking about WWE, I would say do not go to a live show. Show them the TV. But for AEW and definitely any indies, the live experiences are so much fun.
On WWE, though, I would say going to house shows are really fun. But TV tapings are a slightly different thing. But house shows have got a nice different variety to them.
I mean, my group of friends, they would not want to go to a house show WWE. I get a kick out of it, but they would just see it as campy family nonsense.
Yeah.
Whereas if I took them to, you know, a Rev Pro show, they're like, yeah, let's get drunk and watch this guy slap. Are they really hitting each other? They're hitting each other. Like, yeah.
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 Yeah, absolutely.
Consensual violence.
Consensual violence.
NS Ogre, member for 19 months. Mox did say just business before jumping Stu. Loving all the content, guys. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really cool. Colostopia, Punk is the mastermind behind these attacks. First Hangman. I hadn't thought that.
Who covered up his face on the truck, Ollie?
I hadn't thought of that. First Hangman, then the Elite. Or AW still in the chat. all Punk had problems with. BCC plus Punk plus Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson. Or Takeshita versus Elite Hangman Cold Cage match.
That's a very big blood and guts right there.
Well, then you're just doing the Outcast storyline, aren't you? Because you've got like the ex-WWE Punk
and
Danielson.
And Wheeler Yuta.
And Wheeler Yuta.
But the question there is, how do you get the Dark Order into that blood and guts match?
Juan Villa, member for 18 months in a row. Can you see the Outcast storyline be extended to two pay-per-views? This might be fantasy booking, but maybe they can add Mandy Mercedes.
Mandy, comma, Mercedes.
Oh, Mandy Mercedes. Abella, maybe. Mickey. The Mercedes Monet apparently has no more dates scheduled past April. Double or nothing's in May.
I think if we're going to see Mercedes in an AEW ring, Forbidden Door 2, I would likely be. Yeah. You do Hater versus Monet.
That'd be so cool. Harrison Earl. Vikingo is 25. Ha ha ha. Ha ha. F off. is what Harrison writes. Watch some clips of him after on Twitter, and he no joke does a cartwheel on the ropes. He's insane. Also, Sting is the best man. I'm 22, so never watched him in his peak, but God, he just makes me love him every single time.
Well, Harrison, you have got 3 years now to be as good as Vikingo is, so there's time there, dude. You put the effort in now.
Or 42 years to be as good as Sting. I think he's 64.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another
64.
Another name hasn't been recorded here. Please tell the mods what your name is. I like the Don spot, but I didn't like Kenny's reaction if he truly believed Adam hit him with the frickin' bat. Would he not have attacked Adam? Don is fam. I hope that he isn't with the BCC, though. Pair him with a new meal ticket. Jay White, Takeshita, Shazam! Next week in Winnipeg.
Leveling up. I thought it totally made sense. Like, I don't think Kenny hates Hangman.
I think he might be starting to dislike Don, though.
Ooh.
Which is why I feel like it works.
Mm.
Hot tag to you.
Entrust Online says, you ever notice it's always someone else's fault other than Punk's? In today's news, he was sort of saying Tony should just have put them in a room to hash it out. Yeah, because that's what the problem was. Same in WWE. Maybe Punk is the problem, Ollie.
Mm. Yeah.
Rev Sir says, Kenny has said multiple times in promos that he doesn't watch replays. Said it after losing the belt to Hanger. Great main event. Love you, boys. Which is what I sort of mentioned earlier.
Mm. Yeah, I guess like the Bucks or Hangman should be trying to show him a tablet. Look, I did not do it.
So the person who was saying about the Garcia promo, that was Nathan Coley.
Oh,
Thank you very much. Apologies, Streamlabs loses names. Sterling Garad says, hey there, first time donating and first time watching WrestleTalk since the Squash podcast with Gavin and James. It's good to see that the world of wrestling has changed in 7 years, from New Japan and All In to AEW and WWE having great stories. Thanks.
Oh, thanks for coming back, Sterling.
BM Whitehouse 76 said, I'm making a bold prediction here, but I have a feeling in my gut next week New Japan and Impact show will be better than Forbidden Door. Impact has been killing it lately, and I think the high-profile show, they need to become relevant again.
Well, yeah. Fingers crossed. Maybe there'll be an AEW presence on that show.
Puckhead1994 said, Forbidden Door 2 matchup, Mox wants to be the ace. Dark Order recruits the true ace of New Japan, Mox's kryptonite, Toriano.
You know, Shota Umino's coming up a lot in New Japan right now. Of course, he used to be with
Moxley. He was a young boy for Moxley.
Yeah, so maybe there's something. I'm sure they want to do something there.
Put this $5 towards the secret ice cream surprise party for the mod Ollie has planned. Shh, keep it a secret. Got to apologize for Streamlabs losing this user's name, but said, but between Ollie's bad takes on AEW and Luke's terrible taste in new metal music, I think we have found the best wrestling duo on all of YouTube. P.S. What do you think of the idea of Jay White debuting at Double or Nothing and siding with Callis v. Kenny?
If Jay White goes to AEW, I'm not really invested in him being a part of this story. I know he kicked Omega out of the Bullet Club, but I feel like the meat is between Bucks, Hangman, Kenny. It's a bit of a Deus Ex Machina to chuck a Jay White in.
I think it is as well a little bit. Like when you think the Elite storyline, even with Cody and stuff, when it was with New Japan, wasn't really a Jay White story. He wasn't a factor in any of the stuff that they were doing. Kota Ibushi was. But I don't think like Jay ever was. Having said that, if you want to put Jay White versus Kenny Omega on TV or pay-per-view, I'm not going to be upset about that in the slightest. And also, just to clarify this username here, you spelt new metal wrong. So look who's right now. It's Luke Owen, DAD, once again.
Play the music. See us out. There it was.
It's like our own personal thingy to curb your enthusiasm.
Can we get that built in? I want a different like end credits to a show every time we make a joke. And it will always end when one of us is proved right about something. Like Alan Partridge and I
had the last laugh. an unknown username here. What is the best sandwich? We had this discussion in a taxi the other day.
So I find myself on my Saturdays going back to the sandwich of my childhood, which is two commercially overproduced slices of white Kingsmill bread, toasty size, so very thick.
Thick, that's the way we ate sandwiches, yeah.
With mayonnaise all up on that. Mm-hmm. Grated cheese. And some people might hate this, but I don't care. Sliced cucumber.
Oh, so cheese.
Bit of crunch.
Yeah, cheese and cucumber sandwich.
Nice. Cheese, mayonnaise, cucumber sandwich.
I think that's very tasty. Mm-hmm. It's good. Peanut butter and jam. It's my favorite one. Aoife Cassidy was too sleepy last night to watch, but just so you guys know, H is always silent in Spanish.
So, because you pronounce Triple H's name in Spanish as triple.
Exactly, yeah. J.S. Wooten said, Ollie Davis, this is the greatest show ever. It sets up so much, but it's nowhere near as good as Fury and McIntyre singing at Clash of the Castle, so sit on spin on this 88 suckers.
Well, yeah. Look, this is my rating system. No one criticizes Dave Meltzer for his stars. Why am I getting all this flack?
Here's to the power of Sat setting you straight, Ollie, DAD for life. Ryan Singh said, hey guys, I sent an ultra chat last week saying, just one more thing in reference to Ollie's news episodes. I'm glad you guys understood that reference. Oh, just one more thing. Really proud moment for me on Monday as I became an uncle for the first time.
Congratulations,
thank you,
Ryan.
so much.
And Ryan's sibling.
Yes. And an unknown user here, please do let our moderators know. It says, hi guys, first time ultra here, loving the new content, keep it up. But the point of the chat is, I have a theory. What if FTR and CM Punk attacked the Young Bucks? I wouldn't be mad if this was BPCC. Blackpool Combat Club. Okay. And I'm expecting it to be them. But imagine Punk and FTR versus the Elite. That was the dream match, like, I had laid out when all of this kicked off after All Out. I remember me, Tempest and Pete doing an episode of Content Club where I said, like, you could just hash this all out and build to Punk and FTR versus the Elite, put that on pay-per-view.
I've been thinking about a few interesting points that I've read recently, and that is how back in the day, there was a very highly financial incentive for wrestlers to squash personal beef, because you would get a cut of the house for that wrestling match that you put on. You know, depending on how much that show drew, you would get a cut of it. So it was in your best interest to work with people, even if you didn't get along, to put on the biggest money match.
Hogan Savage.
You don't get that these days in AEW or WWE because you have guaranteed contracts. There is no incentive for the Bucks and Kenny to work out the issues with Punk.
No.
So it's just an interesting thing. Like, if you're like, well, if I'm Tony, if I give you a cut of the pay-per-view that's going to have this match on, does that change things? Would you be willing to sit in a room together? I don't know. You know, maybe, you know, that Omega doesn't seem to be motivated by money. To be honest, Punk doesn't either.
Doesn't need it. Do you remember, like, on that podcast, he talked about a story about, like, he just found a six-figure check that he hadn't cashed. There was, like, a merchandise thing. It's like, oh, I just didn't cash it.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a life-changing amount of money for most people. I was like, I found it under a pile of clothes. Ironically, a pile of merchandise.
Yeah, just a thought.
And we have just got to quickly check the poll now, so I'm just going to close that, but it is very definitive. That is 90% thumbs up.
Oh, that is huge.
Mid, 70%, and a 1% thumbs down.
What, sorry, what was mid?
7%.
7%, I think you said 70. Did we say Ashley Acid 16's become a member?
Thank you so, so much. And what a show that was. Mm. If you haven't, please go and watch Omega versus Vikingo, because it was awesome. So, so good. It is probably going to end up being... It's going to get a lot of noms, I think, towards the end of the year.
Top three, certainly Ospreay match with Omega Vikingo and Danielson MJF.
And it's only March. Mm. Yeah. It's going to be a very big year, I think. This is going to feel like that 2021 year where I was like, there's like 20 different match of the years you could pick. Yeah. And I'm very excited about that.
Because Logan Paul Seth Rollins is coming up.
But he didn't do the buckshot across the chamber.
Yeah, he's saving it.
Do you want to do an outro for us?
Yes. Thank you very much for joining us. Please go over and watch the Wrestle Talk news episode. Some Monday Night Wars up for you on Parts of Unknown if you haven't seen. And of course, Worst Match Ever. But for now, I've been Ollie Davis. This has been Luke Owen, DAD. Jam That Jam.
Jam That Jam.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.